everybody. Welcome to Game Over Nation. This week we're not doing a numbered episode. We are talking Last of Us. It's a spoiler cast. So just warning everybody, if you have not beaten The Last of Us, you should turn away now or get it completely spoiled. We're going to talk about the game from beginning to end, what we thought about it, what we liked, what we hated, all that. So,
Joel is the Gabe real Philbin, human being.
Yeah, Ellie dies at the end.
Cole dies at the end.
See, that I was planning that because now if people continued to listen, they're going to get really mad and then stop listening immediately. But we'll still get the download count, but they won't have the game spoiled because that doesn't actually happen. Unless they keep listening until now. In which case, all is for naught.
Could have waited a few more minutes.
All is lost. The world is ending. It's happening.
It's happening.
We should don't even try to listen to this podcast because we have the high ground.
I'm listening to Exhibit, so I have the high ground.
Fair enough.
Also here is Dylan Roush.
Yeah.
Yes.
I am here.
And Ryan De La Rosa, because I'm going to let him get introduced last this time.
Ryan, Cole dies at the end, De La Rosa?
Yes.
Dylan, precisely. Joel is a true human being.
True human
Dylan,
being.
Dylan, Joel is the greatest human everywhere. Roush.
Yeah. Okay, so I guess we should get into this then.
Yes.
Yeah, let's get it started. So I'll go off and say, I'll say this first. I don't think this game is fun. I think this is not a fun game. So if you want fun, you're going to be disappointed. However, it is fucking exhilarating as hell.
It's a good movie.
Yeah.
Would watch again.
7 out of 10, it was a good movie.
10 out of 10!
What's IGN's... 9 out of 10. It's okay.
Yeah, I agree with Gabe on that part. It was not... Man, it was kind of a...
I actually had fun once I hit winter.
Dude, like, yeah, no, that's the best part of the game.
Yeah, winter was cool. Yeah, there was a lot of action throughout that part.
Well, I just... like playing as Ellie was... awesome.
I enjoyed murdering
people. That whole sequence was really well laid out. Like where there was a lot of stealth, and you could stab the shit out of guys without worrying about losing shivs. It was just
really
nice.
That was really nice. Being able to sneak up behind people because of the snowstorm and just dangle off them as you're stabbing them repeatedly.
I think, like, I was bad at stealth in that game, but I was really good at getting out of it after I fucked up.
I'm like the kind of the opposite. Well, I was really bad at stealth originally, but then you kind of like get used to the idea of, yeah, you're not really stealth. You just have to really
just stay out of sight.
Like they're not going to be like
there's no true idiots. Stealth. There's no true stealth mechanic.
Yeah, it's just
it's
you gotta
just hide
be
behind
here.
This thing. Yeah,
I just and asked I'm, what
I'm too impatient. To like do that, so I would get caught constantly, and it would always be because I was in a hurry. But I also like I made it a point to never like reset a checkpoint just because I fucked up.
Yeah,
like I just would just go with it, and usually I could get out of it just by killing folks. But
I
got really good at hitting people with a fucking lead pipe by charging and then lead piping them. Oh, I got good at that.
I just practiced the art of. Aiming the bow from really awkward angles so that they couldn't see me, but I could just arc it just enough to get him in the head.
Yeah.
But do you guys agree, like, this isn't a traditionally fun game? Like, I feel like when I, like, my initial gut reaction is like, yeah, I had, like, I guess I would say I had fun playing it, but it's not like this is, like, a...
Well, yeah, you're not... There's no
Mario
point where...
fun. Like, it's exciting and, like, exhilarating, but... It's you're not like smiles.
Oh yeah, there's no smiling in the game.
I think that's reserved for your first playthrough because you know like my first playthrough I really wanted to show the game respect and you know soak it all in and examine every room and try to find what I could and all that stuff. But on my second playthrough, it was all about fun. Like it was like. All right. Oh, so I know the story. I went through all that, and I agree with you. It wasn't fun. It was stressful and dark, and you know, it was a pitch black story with terrible people and all that. And I loved all that. But like on my second playthrough, I was like, all right, now I play it like a video game. Now I just go nuts and you know enjoy the mechanics for what they are. You know, and I don't know. I had fun with it the second time through.
I'm sorry, Dylan.
I was gonna say I don't know about you, but I was all smiles and when Joel was beating the guy off the pipe to find out where Ellie was.
Oh,
when he stabbed him in the leg and drew the knife up his thigh.
Yeah,
that part.
I was like, yeah, God fuck dang. Those assholes.
Right before he beat him with the lead pipe. Yeah, my version is, me and the lead pipe were best friends through that game, because like, when I would fuck up stealth, what I would do is I would shoot as much as I could, but if I got low on ammo, I would just like start crouching behind things and like running from cover to cover until I could get close enough to a guy to where I could charge him and just hit him with the pipe. That was always good, because there was an extra animation if you were charging, like he would really like get into it and put his weight behind it.
Yeah. I had such terrible aim at the beginning of the game. Like, I think all through pretty much most of Pittsburgh and all that, Joel punched 90% of the people to death.
What's cool is if you peg a guy with a brick or a bottle before you engage him with a melee attack, you'll just one-shot him. Like, whatever melee weapon you have, you'll just like break their jaw in one hit.
Is that just humans or...
Either any
vegetables,
yeah, humans, yeah, and
other
rodents.
Disorients whoever you hit it with, and then you just
run
hit
up
them once while they're disoriented and it knocks them completely out.
Okay,
yeah, I don't think
you knock people out in this game. They die.
Yeah.
No, yeah. They die.
That I had a brick or a bottle. Like I used them when I'd remember, but there's a lot of times where I just charge a guy and forget that I had that there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Does it work on survival? Like those things are your bread and butter, because like you don't have any ammo.
that's your main weapon.
Does it work on blind plants?
Blind what?
The clickers?
Blind plants.
Clickers.
I just refer to them as plants.
Yeah, you can you can distract. You can hit them with those and run up and pop them.
Okay.
I don't. Getting back to the whole like idea of this game not being fun, I can understand why people don't like enjoy it as much as like we did per se. Like, I think Polygon gave it like a 7.5 or something, and everyone was like, "This is reprehensible." And it's like, I understand it. Like, the game's not fun. Like, I get people saying like this doesn't. If a game's not fun, it has no business being a game. I get it. I don't agree with that at all, but, you know, like, I get it.
Well, I also had issues, like, another reason I would kind of agree with a score like that is that I had some, there are some, like, funky-ass mechanics issues at times, and weird, like, AI stuff that was like, what the fuck just happened? I don't know if you guys ran into it, but I definitely had instances where... Like for instance, there was one spot. I can give you two good examples. There's one where I'd come into a building. Like I said, I was bad at stealth, but this is one time I was so happy because I like got all the way through. I choked everybody out, and like then I would listen, you know, and just make sure I cleared everything. And so I got who I thought was the last guy. Listened. I see a guy coming down the hall. I was like, okay. So I walk into a room, kind of along the path he's walking, and. He walks by the door, I go out, I choke him out, alright, cool. I hit the listen button again, there's another dude coming from the exact spot he just was. And I swear to God, it was like an enemy closet, like you would see in the old Call of Duties. Like, they would just keep coming. Like, there was no way to clear the building or something. And so the next guy started coming, I was like, well, fuck, alright, I'll get this guy too. Well, then, all of a sudden, so I'm listening, and then all of a sudden he starts sprinting. And I was like, well, what the fuck? And then I get shot from behind by a guy who just spawned behind me. And so I was like, what the fuck? So then this guy's... And he's running suddenly because the other guy saw me, but there's no way they alert each other. He just saw... Like, he just started sprinting. There was no yell. There was no nothing. He didn't start running after the gunshot. He just started running. And so he runs into the room, and then I have to take both of them out. And I was like, well, what the fuck? Like, I went through all of that slow as I could, as careful as I could, doing it the way you would have to, and, like, it still didn't benefit me in the end.
It sounds like a really weird bug. Like,
yeah. There was that one, and then there was another one that I found where I felt like this happened a few times in the game. There was definitely those points where you would walk past something and it would trigger something, and it would just kind of like things would kind of pop in. Like I got to this part and there was a guy in a window. Like he was in a building on the second story, and the window in the room he was in was busted out. And you're across the street on the first floor. And so I saw him up there, and he wasn't really paying attention to me, so I got my bow and arrow and hit him and killed him. So then I hit the listen function, and I see the guys inside the building that he's in. I was like, all right, well, I'll go in there in a second. And I look down the road, and there's a guy leaning against a car, an enemy, and it's just him. He's the only one there. So I'm like, okay, so I walk down, just creep up closer, 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 and after I cross a certain point, bam, like four other guys pop into view. Like, just appear. They didn't walk out of the building. They didn't walk from anywhere. They just popped in. And I was like, well, what the fuck?
Sounds like your game's haunted, man.
So I get this bow and arrow, and I kill the one dude that I was going after to begin with. I was like, well, I'm just going to – let's get this party started, right? So so I hit that guy. He goes down. The other guys see it, and they see me. And I anticipated that, so I didn't really – that didn't bother me. So I killed all the other guys. I go back to the building where I said that all those guys were walking in. Those guys just teleported to that part of the map. All the guys in the building were gone now. They were all – it was the same dudes. They just teleported out of the building suddenly when I walked to that end of the map. And it was just stuff like that. I felt like sometimes the game would just – you would do all the things. You would use all the tools, and it would just break and say, fuck you. I know you were doing this right, but
That's weird. Yeah, no.
Yeah, I didn't have anything.
I didn't
like
have
that.
Any of that.
Really?
I
mean, yeah.
Uncharted 3 had shit like that, where it's like,
right,
hey,
yeah,
be stealthy, and the characters tell you to be stealthy, and there's literally
and
no way to be
stealthy. You can't
stealthy.
Be stealthy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was one
we
thing that
talk
I.
Talk about Uncharted 3.
That was one thing that I did kind of like about the game, is that. Like, I guess another part that I can draw attention to was, like, where I thought it was really cool the way it did it. Like, you never. I never really knew sometimes if I could be stealthy at a point, or if this is just like, well, you're just going to have to fight your way. Like, there's one where you're in a building and you're down in a basement. I think it was in the hotel. It was like after you fall down the elevator shaft,
mm-hmm,
and Ellie's like separated from you, and you go in and you have to start up a generator.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, is there a way to not start this generator and do something else, or what?
I think that's one of the most, like, interesting reaction, like, player reaction parts of the game, because you talk to me, Javi, Dylan, we're like, fuck yeah, that part was cool as shit. You talk to our friends Devin and Harris, and they're like, this part sucks. This is, like, my least favorite part of the game.
Let's take this time
It was frustrating at first, because, like, I tried
take
it once.
Take this time to analyze how fucking wrong Harris is.
Well, like, I was gonna say, let's take this time to make fun of those two for having trouble in the hotel basement.
Yeah, that part of the game is one of the biggest examples of the game, like the game itself and the narrative having like a one-to-one correlation, I guess you could call it. Like, they match. Like, that's something this game does that most AAA games don't do. Like, you look at like Call of Duty and the story's like all war and shit, but no, it's still like cartoony, arcadey. Like, you look at Bioshock Infinite, and it's, like, a serious story, but then you fucking fly all across the place, and it's all about, like, having fun. But in this, it's, like, this, you just gotta, like, take your time. It's gonna suck.
Yeah.
But, hey, go ahead.
Yeah, well, when I got to that part, you know, it was one of those things where it was kind of a cool moment, because, like, you kind of stealth your way through the building, and you get there, and you're like, ah, oh, fuck, there is no other option but to fucking piss off everything in this building right now. So you do it, and like the first time I did it, it was kind of late at night, and I'd been playing for a while, and I died, and I was like, fuck this, and just like turn it off. But I came back the next day and turned it on, and like it took me a few tries, but I got it. But it was like the first try, it didn't seem as impossible as it had the night before. Like, the night before, like, I saw everything coming, and I was like, fuck this, this is gonna be ridiculous. I'll do it later. But then I did it one time, and I was like, I almost beat it, like, on my first attempt, and I was like, that wasn't so bad. And it was just like, but, like, those options that you always had, like, there were kind of taken away, but it was kind of cool. Like, I don't know. Like,
yeah, the, I like Molotov's that part dog, so Molotov's. Much because the more you actually treat it like you are Joel, and like how you would approach the situation, like you're being as quiet as possible, you're going as fast as possible while still like being as stealthy as you can. Like, if you do that, then it's pretty fucking easy. Like, it's like crawl around, find the key card, go to the generator, start it, and fucking run like
that's
hell.
What I did. I ran.
I went fucking Rambo. I fucking Ramboed that shit. I started it. I ran up the ramp. First of all, I set a bomb in the hallway at the doorway where they were going to come through. And so I started the generator, waited for the first guy to run up and hit that. Then I ran upstairs, waited for the big guy to chase me. Two Molotovs! And then I just beat the shit out of everyone else with a lead pipe.
If you run, you don't have to touch any of them.
Yep, you can start.
Well, I didn't have the key card. I didn't even find the key card till after they were all dead. I found the door where you needed the key card, and that was unfortunate. It's like, oh no.
Yeah, I remember the first time I went through that. It was like, I found the door, and I was like, eh, fuck, I need a key card. Found the key card, went back there. Eh, fuck, I need the power. Went to the power. Oh, fuck, there are people here.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And I just ran like hell.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, that's like my, I don't, that's probably my favorite gameplay part outside of the entire winter section.
Yeah, same
okay,
here.
So we've talked a lot about this kind of, I guess maybe we should, well, I guess if you're listening, you played the game, but I don't know, should we go back and like, kind of touch on some of the story parts?
Yeah. Like,
real quick, I want to talk about, like you were saying, Gabe, that people, you know, thought about this game or spoke about this game negatively, and you understand where they're coming from and everything, but I think that that's a big part of why I loved it so much. Like, this game's polarizing in the, you know, like, it's an ugly game. Like, it's really dark themes and talks, makes you, like, question what is okay under certain circumstances and what isn't, and it's like really hard to judge these characters, you know, in a lot of ways. And I don't know, I think it pulls you in all sorts of different ways and shows you a universe that's not black and white, it's not good and evil, and there's some people are justified for the horrible things they do and some people aren't, but and it asks questions about that, but it doesn't give you like a clear answer either.
Mm-hmm. Games end ambiguous?
Yeah. That turns off so many people. When I tweeted that quote from Brian Altano saying that, like, you know, this is his Ocarina of Time for the PS3, and I completely agree with that, just because it defined this generation for me at least. Like, I feel like. And of course, you know, we're never going to have an Ocarina of Time kind of, you know, impact on the industry again. I mean, that's like the first step in a 3D, the first adventure game. So it's not really comparable on that level at all. But I'm just saying that it was something really special, you know, and it was something that we didn't get, or, you know, there's nothing like it.
We hadn't gotten before.
Yeah. There's nothing like it, yeah. And but the thing is, like, a lot of people were really pissed off, like, when I tweeted that. Are you kidding me? And they're like, just no. And I was like, all right. And I wanted to get a discussion going, you know, like, Gaijin Goomba was, like, saying, he's like, you can't compare it to Legend of Zelda because Legend of Zelda can be played and appreciated by everyone. And I'm like, so what, the value of a piece of media is based on like how
broadly it reaches, and how, in yeah, that how case Call of Duty is
ever.
The most influential game ever. It's the best game ever made.
Citizen Kane
that's not really a valid argument there. And he was saying that, like, him and his wife were just revolted by both Joel and Ellie's actions throughout the whole game, and I'm like, well, that's interesting. I'm like,
I thought they were humans. And
Yeah, and I feel like Ellie's fascinating because she's just a product of her environment. She's not a bad person. She's just a part of this universe.
That's all she's known. She was born after the apocalypse happened.
And what the fuck are you supposed to do in this world? You know, everybody that had this high sense of morality died. They're not there anymore, you know? So, like, this is what we have. This is humanity.
Yeah, there's that great line where Joel and Tess are talking, and Tess says, like, I got a news flash for you, Joel. We're shitty people. And he just goes, we're survivors! Like,
yeah.
It's like, like, at this point, like, there aren't good or bad. There's just people who can... the last of us.
And I understand, like, his argument on Twitter. He was saying that, like, that's disgusting. Or, like, I don't want to play as people like that. I don't want to see a universe like that. I'm like, all right, that's cool. Like, I understand, like, that's a turnoff for you. But, like, there's people out there like me that find that fascinating. And I think that, like, I'm like, I love Mario and I love Zelda. But it's really refreshing to see a video game where, like, you're playing as the main character and you're not so sure you agree with what they're doing, you know, but it's fascinating at the same time. It's not black and white. You're not stopping Ganondorf and,
like,
Bowser.
Would you describe Joel as an anti-hero? Like, I don't think he's really a hero.
He does what's necessary.
And then he just dooms.
No, I think Joel is a selfish piece of shit.
Yeah, let's actually talk about.
I'm not going to candy coat it. I think he's a bad dude that does what, you know. He's only looking out for himself and his own interests.
Yeah,
and
let's.
He'll step on whoever he needs to like get what he wants, and that's apparent from the very get go. Like the start of the game, the infection hits, and I think Tommy is the anti Joel, and then Tommy is the only good person, like genuinely good person that you see in the whole freaking game, and he talks about the years that he spent with Joel and the things that Joel made him do to survive, and that it wasn't worth it, you know, like he still has nightmares about the things they did to survive. And so anyways, like when the infection hits and Tommy wants to pull over and help that family that's on the side of the road, Joel's like, no, leave him. And he's like, what the fuck? They have a kid. And he's like, we do too. And it's like, when you play it the first time, you're like, yeah, Joel's got a point. But like in context, after you see just everything and how Joel behaves, it's just another little moment where Joel's selfish and Joel's like, fuck them. It's about me.
I want to talk about that for a second because I agree, especially at the end, you know, where that's just like the nail in the coffin on I am a terrible, selfish human. But like, I've talked to a lot of people, or you know, a fair amount of people who have been like, "That was totally out of character at the end." I'm like, "What?
No,
that was 100% in line with everything Joel stands for." They're like, "That was completely out of character. I didn't like it." And the thing is, I think a lot of people out there didn't pay attention to what was going on, and you're so used to playing as the good guy, you're always the hero, you're always the good person, that they colored it that way. Everything they did, they tried to reason and temper and not really looked at what's actually happening.
Mm-hmm.
Like
all the things you do in that game are just terrible. I mean, like, and just even combat is just so violent and on purpose, you know. You always justify it. From the start of the game, you're like, okay, well, he needs to do this to survive, you know, and you give him the benefit of the doubt. But I feel like the game perfectly, and I think it starts with
it keeps pushing you down
that
edge.
When he's torturing those guys to find out where Ellie is, that's where the game, for me at least, starts to go, oh wait, he's going a little far here, and then it just goes fucking downhill from there, man.
I think it actually happens before that, like at the start of Winter when Ellie's with David, like at the fire after they just fight off that giant horde, and David tells her about this insane man that slaughtered a party that he sent out, and I'm like, shit, dude, like,
yeah, you see the other side of it.
They just called out everything you did for the last 10 hours.
Right. yeah, exactly. That was kind
of, like, that was one of like the biggest like narrative turning points of the game, when they just acknowledge well, the shit you did.
Yeah, well, and the game's sprinkled with all these things that blatantly tell you what kind of person Joel is, but you kind of glossed over on the first playthrough just because he's the protagonist, you know? Like, when Ellie says, "How'd you know that guy was faking?" And he's like, "I've been on both sides." And it's like, he just told you right there. He's killed a lot of innocent people. He's done exactly what all these horrible, all these bad guys have done. Like, he is one of them. And so, but like, when you're playing it the first time, you kind of gloss over it for some reason, you know, or at least I did. I was like, you know, no, he's still a good dude. I mean, look, he's taking care of this girl, you know, but no, absolutely not. Like, if you, with the full context of what happens in the game, like, yeah, it, like yeah. You were saying, Ryan, everything he's done completely reinforces the ending.
Yeah, he's selfish from start to finish. And I liked what you said when we were texting that night after it happened. I don't remember we were texting, or maybe it was just we were on Skype or something. I don't remember exactly. But you said that, like, in the second playthrough, it really started to shine through. Like,
oh, yeah.
That like, you start to, you know what happens at the end, and you look at everything prior to that through that lens, and it's like, oh, well, yeah. It's all right here.
Well, and the thing is, like, you look at his relationship with Ellie, and you start to kind of think that, oh, it's sweet, you know, especially, like, when he's talking about teaching her how to play guitar or whatever, but in the grand scheme of things, and you look at it, it's like, she was a burden to him, you know, he wanted to just give her to his brother as soon as he could and be done with her, and then the second that he started to, like, want to have her around, then it's like, no, well, that's what he wants now, and so he's gonna have it, you know.
Yeah,
he doesn't give a shit about her, he doesn't give a shit about anybody, he gives a shit about what he wants, you know.
Yeah.
She's a burden, so get rid of her, I don't care about this girl, whatever. And then, oh, well, I kind of like her, so I'm gonna lie to her, I'm gonna murder everybody in my way and keep her around. It's like, man, what a terrible person.
Everything I did,
yeah. Well, also, love. I think another, like, on the topic of, like, you know, with that turning point when he talks about, you know, the crazy man who killed his search party or whatever. I think another part of that also, like, when you think about what you had just done at that part, like, just the desperation of the times, I guess, because you're in that building, I guess it's at the university, and you're in that building, and those guys just show up in the building and shoot at you, like, instantly. Like, there's no way to know who's really trying to, like, kill you. Or
yeah.
Or when they saw Joel, they wouldn't have known right away, that guy's probably going to try to kill us. They just shoot because he's not with us, you know? And it's like that sucks, you know?
That's,
like,
that's the world they live in.
Yeah, like, that really sucks. It shoot first and we'll see, you know? Like,
That's kind of why I lean towards everything he does is he does out of necessity.
Yeah,
yeah. Like,
well,
I
don't disagree.
Well, what
with
he
that.
Does gets Ellie to the Fireflies.
Hmm? Yeah.
So, like, it was necessary to complete his job.
Considering the environment they live in, you do what's necessary to live. If that means you know, burning a big patch through Pittsburgh of bodies, and so be it.
Leaving a trail of blood everywhere you go.
Well, I don't disagree with that. Like, I agree that everything he did was necessity, but, like, he's still a terrible person. Like,
well, I mean,
if you look at him, like,
through,
like,
cool,
today's lens.
Yeah, I guess,
like,
so.
He's
yeah.
absolutely.
I just
a cool example of what happens when you try to not do that. Like, when you don't put survival first, is that those journals from Ish, you see that this guy's like,
oh my God,
hey, I survived on my own on my boat this long, it's time to go back to land. And then he mentions that he saw this family or this group of people with kids and stuff, and he's like, yeah, I sent them on their way, but I'm kind of lonely, you know, what's the point of living if you don't have somebody to laugh at your jokes? And so he's like, I'm going to try to find them. And then he does, and then you end up seeing what happened to their little community, and it's because they had too many people, and
yeah, one
person
left
the door
open.
They didn't put survival first, and that's what happens.
It was Ish got out, though. He and the wife of the family.
Do you ever find him?
DLC.
Do you ever find him after that? Because, yeah, I read the journal where someone left the door open, but I don't recall anything after that.
In the town, there are, I think, a couple notes, and one of them is about, like, how the door's open. I think it's either, these are either, like, the same note or two, and then there's another part that says that he, like, he and, I want to say, like, it was, her name was Rachel or something.
Rachel.
I call her Rachel. Rachel. Like, he and Rachel got out, and that she wanted to go back for the bodies, and he
right.
No.
I remember that.
So it was like,
I read that.
That was such a amazing moment where, like, Ish realized, like, no, like, we can't. We
yeah,
can't
all right, because her kid was in there.
Yeah, her
did you find the kids? Did you
yes,
find the kids?
You find
the yeah. Yeah, that was fucked up. Every kid in that game had a sheet over it. That was fucked up, man.
God damn.
Yeah, depressing
except,
ass game.
Except Henry. Rest in peace.
Yeah,
no, Sam. Henry was the bigger one.
Yeah. Yeah, that was kind of a shitty moment in the game. I was like, and honestly, I will say this, like, one thing that I thought for sure playing the game, and I don't know if you guys had the same feeling. First of all, I do want to talk real quick about you guys were like, why would they spoil that in the trailer? Did you see that part?
No.
The part from the trailer? It was when he fell off, the guy shoved him off a ladder, and he's like wincing because he's hurt. And she's pointing the gun because she just shot the dude who tried to kill him.
Oh, yeah.
That's the scene. Like, because that guy shoved him off the ladder and mm-hmm. fell on top of him and was about to kill him. And Ellie, the first time Ellie shoots a gun, that's that part. But anyway, like, I thought for sure that Joel was going to die. Just because, I don't know,
shit,
that's how these games go. And I thought it was really kind of interesting that they left everyone alive, or, you know, left the main characters alive and just put that shitty little twist at the end. So it's like,
oh, yeah.
It's kind of worse than had someone died, you know, like,
yeah.
Yep.
Like someone dying, it's like, well, they're dead, you know, but
you either die a hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
But like, that's instead true. They both live and you're the only one that knows that he tells this shitty, terrible lie to her.
Oh, you don't think Ellie knew?
I don't think she knew.
Oh, watch that again.
I felt like she... I felt like the whole time she trusted him more than anything. Like, she would take his word on anything.
God damn. In the car, like, when he was like, it turns out there's, like, dozens like you. And they gave up looking for a cure. And she was just like...
She was still kind of drugged up.
Yeah, and then at the end when she says, like, promise me everything you told me is true. And he's like, I swear. And she just, like, sighs and goes, okay. Like, that's just her accepting this terrible lie that Joel is trying to, like, shield her from this world. Or from, like, the horrible act that he did.
The reason I don't think that she knew is because I feel like she really wanted to do her part. Like, I think that if she was just going to be like, just lie to me, please, and let's, you know, forget about it. Is because she wouldn't have told that story that she did before
about her
about her friend and how, you know, she's felt guilty this whole time about living and watching everyone she knows die. And even when you're like, you get into the university and Joel's like, we don't have to do this, you know, and she's like, well, I got to do something, or we got to do something, you know. Like, I really think she really wants to do her part, and like, I think she, if she knew that she was going to die, she would have been okay with it. She would have accepted that.
I wonder if she's, she knows that she can't do anything about it, you know? Like, she's just like, fuck.
Yeah, like.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. But I don't know. I felt like all of that, if she just was like, oh, well, he lied to me and I can just accept it. Like, I feel then, like, all that other shit is, like, wouldn't have been there.
Well, like, she changed. Like, I think she just changes and realizes, like, okay, well, I mean, like, this is, as, like, the game title says, this is The Last of Us. Like, this is the last group of people going through this planet. Which I think was kind of, like, I think Naughty Dog did such an awesome job showing that, like, yeah, humanity is in the shitter, but nothing else really is when you get out of the, like, things you, like, get off the highway when you're in Utah, and you're in this like beat up building and you just see all those giraffes walking around the street. And you're just like, well, everything else seems pretty normal. It's just us that's really fucked over by this.
That's you know, the ending where, you know, you expected Joel to die or somebody to die to, cuz that's the funny thing, like you see on Twitter, oh, just beat The Last of Us, I need a shower or I need a drink or whatever. Yeah. And you're like, oh shit, it's going to be sad or something. Someone's going to die. And then also, like, I can't remember if it was the spoiled games on Rev 3 or if it was the IGN podcast, but like they're talking about how they tweeted Last of Us just made me burst into tears. And everybody's like, God, dude, why would you spoil? Oh, someone dies. Someone clearly dies. And he was talking about the scene with the giraffes because it was like after all this tension and all this negativity and like all the stress, just that moment of beauty and all that, like that made him burst into tears. And he's like, who would have thought giraffes in a video game was what would do it?
Giraffes, you know, so. 10 out of 10.
But I mean, I think it's cool that all these, we're so used to it. Like you said, Ryan, we're just so used to, oh, someone dies and it's going to be sad. No, that's not, they didn't do that at all.
Yeah, this game took a lot of turns in other directions, you know.
The moment that made me, like, stop for a while happened right before the giraffes. Like, I stayed at the giraffes and, like, lingered there for a while. But it was this RV on the highway, and you go in there, and, like, you see some bodies covered up. And you grab whatever, your pills or some bullshit that's in there. And then there's a postcard.
Oh, yeah, I remember
and
this part.
It's a picture of parents and these two kids. And you, and like, there's always an option to flip things over, and you flip it over, and it just says "forgive us."
Yeah.
And I was just like that put everything, like every body in the game, like every corpse you saw, like every corpse I'd seen, like it kind of gave like such a tragic life and death for each one of those, and I was like, oh my God, I can't do this right now. Ellie, go. You got this. See you on the flippy flip.
Hey, did any of you guys look through Ellie's backpack when you played as her? Like, she has the letter from her mom that she reads, and she reacts to it and stuff. And there's all those joke books.
See,
that you find.
I hit the button to pull it up. I didn't see that in there. I didn't see that option. I heard about looking through her backpack, but I hit the button because I was like, oh, I need to see if I can do this. And then like I was like, well. It was like just a blank screen, and maybe I needed to hit the R buttons or something.
Yeah. You go to your thing where you upgrade or whatever, where you create shivs, and then you press R to like go over to the documents page. Mm-hmm. And there's some new documents in there. There's the joke books that she's been collecting, and they're pretty funny. And then she has a letter from her mom that like says, you know, it's like a goodbye letter and telling her to be strong and all that. And she's like, I'm trying, Mom. It's like, aw. It's really cool.
Yeah, I didn't notice that.
Sorry. Go ahead, Dylan.
Finish because I'm about to introduce a new topic. So.
I was going to say, like, when after you kill everyone in the hospital as Joel, I was like, oh, all right, that's the end. And then it, like, loads up again, and I'm like, God damn it, don't. Don't make me fucking play as that guy. Like, I know it's been building Joel up as kind of a scumbag, but shit. And then they just let me control Ellie for, like, 10 seconds. And I was like, this is goddamn brilliant. It's like, no one's gonna want... Or not no one, maybe, like, sadistic fucks, but...
Like Dylan!
Like, no one's gonna want to be...
I
no
get
one's
the players.
Gonna want to be Joel after that, and just to like let you experience that as Ellie, like hearing Joel say, "When we get someplace calm, I'm gonna teach you how to play guitar," and like then being sort of in like her perspective in that cutscene is just like, God, fuck you, Neil Druckmann. Why are you so good at what you do?
Am I the only one that? Felt like that scene in the with the doctor with the scalpel and the two other doctors there, like that moment right there was what No Russian tried to be in Call of Duty. Like for me, I was like, I don't want to kill them. Like, this is humanity's one shot on this fucking table. I don't agree with Joel. Like, I understand why he's doing it, but this is wrong, yeah, and I don't want to do this. Stuff. And it felt like in Call of Duty, you know, that they wanted you, you're on a mission, you have to do this, you know, and it was just fucking a cheap fucking controversy crap, you know, oh, let's shoot up an airport. But you know, that it felt like that's what they were trying to go for in Call of Duty, like this gut-wrenching, like, I don't want to do this, but I have to because that's the game, you know. And so I felt it was like way more powerful. Like I didn't want to kill those doctors, and I was like, "Fuck, this is who he is. I have to do it." And it forced you to be Joel, and I felt so gross about it. You know?
In that moment, like I stood there for a long time.
Yeah,
just standing, and then like I walked up slowly to the doctor. I can't even remember if I did anything to trigger this. Like maybe a triangle prompt came up and I hit it. But Joel took that fucking scalpel and gave it back to the doctor.
I kind of had the same thing you did, Javi, except my flip to, okay, this is just how it's going to be, you're Joel. Like, that happened before I got down there. I think it happened as soon as I realized what he's doing. Like, he's like, fuck this, I'm going to go get Ellie.
Yeah.
And from that point, I was just a fucking killing machine. And I ran through, and, like, literally, it was all reactionary. Like, I ran through, I killed everyone. I go into the operating room. He grabs that scalpel. I didn't even think. Just bam! Just fucking right in the chest. And it was just like, because I had already made that concession. Like, well, this is how it's going to be. Like, I just I didn't do it in the operating room. I just did it before that, you know?
Yeah. Well, Naughty Dog did just a great job of, like, ramping up that whole last scene, or that whole last area to just make you feel like you said, like a beast, you know, just like you're just gonna kill everything, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it felt like, you know, it came naturally up until that point for me. I was just like, yeah, just fucking mow them all down, you know. They're gonna kill Ellie after all this. No,
I got some ridiculously brutal multi kills with the bombs in that area, like right before I got to the operating room. There's like, it's like a hallway on the left, and to the right there's rooms, and you can kind of get through those and like try to stealth everyone. But I just threw a bomb kind of at the near the first place you would like cover spot, and then went into the buildings, and then like made some noise, and they like came running around there, and I got like three of them in one bomb. Wow. There's blood and body parts everywhere.
I guess I should bear my savagery. I used the flamethrower throughout the entire hospital.
On, like, the two innocent, like...
No, actually, the doctors are the only people I killed with the shotgun.
Oh, at least you showed mercy.
I was like, alright, these guards are all gonna be in cover and shit, because they all know I'm coming. I'm gonna use the one thing that bypasses cover. And I burned... And
their goddamn body armor was so annoying.
And I burned everyone. And then I got to the doctor's office, and I ended up killing all the doctors.
Yeah, really? So did I.
Yeah, Javi said he did the same. I only killed the one.
Yeah, I know it's only necessary to kill the one, but I was
but fuck it.
I was in that mindset of everyone must die.
Well, like, I didn't know it was only necessary. Basically, once I shot the first one, I'm like, I'm going to have to kill, and I just, fuck it, and I just boof, boof. Like, I felt terrible. I felt dirty. I'm like, well, I already pulled the first trigger. Gotta kill the rest, you know? I didn't even think about just killing the one and then going to Ellie.
God.
I blew them all away.
Now that I think about it, if this was The Walking Dead, I guess I'd pretty much be Shane.
I don't know what that means. I haven't played all of
it. Me neither.
It's the TV show.
The TV show.
Oh, I haven't watched it off. I haven't watched any of that either.
Gabe understands.
Yeah. Except this is written a lot better.
Yeah, well duh. Obviously.
What were you going to change the topic to?
The comic books. Did
oh, yeah, those are... Got
bit?
Yeah, that's in there.
Yeah.
Did you read that story today about Riley, like her friend who got bit with her, how like that wasn't originally...
That wasn't part of
the game. Yeah, but then they like... The comics were going to have... They wanted to do that, and so they added it into the game.
That's awesome.
They thought it was better, yeah.
I was going to say, the stories on the back of the comic books I really want to see I want to see that made into a game.
The DLC for this game is just going to be like a total Far Cry Blood Dragon.
Yeah.
And you're just going to be a fucking superhero. It's going to be like Static Shock the game.
Yeah, I really want to see I want to see maybe a separate game, different, like just involving the comic books, cuz that was, I was pretty interested in the story on the books, not going to lie.
Yeah, I wish you could have opened them.
Yeah.
You could just read the back cover. That kind of sucked.
It was my space fantasy coming through in game.
I think the biggest shining achievement in terms of games for Naughty Dog was, for The Last of Us, was they finally learned how to do a good boss fight.
With, keep it short, David. Keep it simple. Yeah, I did get a little annoyed right at first when I walked in there. I was like, oh, we're doing a three hit boss fight? All right.
And it was in a fucking gymnasium. It felt like a million other boss fights. It was.
Yeah,
I loved it. I was like, this is fucking rad. Like, when you couldn't hear him, when he was, like, crouched, I was like, I was freaking the fuck out.
Yeah, I will say that game made me more tense than a lot of games have in a while. A game has in a long time.
Yeah. Oh, fuck, man. Goddamn Last of Us. It's like, I feel it's probably the most like brutal game I've played too. Like violence in it, and the violence isn't like violence in other games.
It doesn't feel gratuitous. Yeah. It feels like this is how things are.
Intimate. That's why
it's just like it's so like brutal. It puts you right up there, and like you're not like, oh yeah, look at that, like you would be in like Gears of War or something.
You're like, oh, you're fuck, like,
oh my god,
I think the violence is completely like I said earlier, it was completely necessary. There is no glossing over. It's not going to be pretty. It's going to be fucking ugly. And that violence perfectly shows how ugly.
Even something like choking somebody out, which you can do in tons of other games, like you, if you turn the camera around and you look at the guy's face, like
you see
their
eyes
and like the life kind of leave them, and they're just like, you know, it's horrifying. All you're doing is choking somebody out. Crazy.
Yeah, that animation's so good, but like, I couldn't tell if they were just really similar between different chokeouts or if it was the exact same one, but it's just really detailed. Because it looks like whenever you choke someone out, it looks very similar, and it's like, oh, that again. But goddamn, like I didn't turn the camera around for a long time. Like I didn't really think of doing that, and then I finally did, and you just see. Like, you just see this, like, perfect expression of struggling and, like, trying to, like, look behind him to, get you off of him and then just, like, kind of giving up whether he means to or not. He just dies. And it's like, fuck, dude.
I'll say this, that apparently hairstyles and clothing were not very varied back then or in this time frame because there were, like, three zombie character models that came after you all the time. It was like girl. The one that I saw most was girl in gray dress with short black hair. Always.
I think they don't have clothes, Ryan, and the fungus has made clothes for them.
And it just makes gray dresses and plaid shirts.
Yes.
All right,
or cool. All the zombies are from Canada.
That could be it.
So it's been like about 3 weeks since we recorded a show, and the last time Ryan wasn't done yet. I want to say you're like a quarter way through the game at that point, or if that.
Maybe.
And you're saying that
it's been 2 weeks since we recorded a show.
Was it two?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's been two.
But at that point, you said that BioShock Infinite's better than Last of Us, at least up to that point. So what do you think now?
I still think so.
Yeah.
I think I enjoyed that game more. Like I think they both did some really cool things, and it's not like it didn't blow away.
I think
away.
It's apples and oranges.
Yeah, they are really different games. I think overall, I enjoyed Infinite more, but like, it's not like it blew it away on my scale of what game is better. Last of Us was really good. I mean, and I definitely saw, like, you know, some of the weird mechanics things were, you know, they kind of take you out of it every now and then, but I don't know. I thought the story, like everything we discussed, like where they just really did something different.
Where Last of Us absolutely beats BioShock Infinite is in its hardest difficulty. Because 1999 mode is just kind of like turning the difficulty up, like just sort of you take less hits to die, people do more damage, like that sort of thing. There's less items on the ground.
And
in Survivor, you don't have listen mode.
Ew.
Everyone is a lot more like, I don't know, like responsive to like you. Like they just react. Like quicker and just more promptly. There's a fuck ton of less stuff. Like that doesn't even make sense what I just said. There's so oh my god, like
there's a fuck ton of less.
Alright, so on normal, you remember like that first encounter you have with a clicker in that collapsing building in Boston? You get a lead pipe. It's like the first time you get a lead pipe in the game. There's a clicker and then like three or four runners in this room, and Ellie and Tess wait for you on like the second story. Do you remember that part?
Yes!
Yeah. Alright, so in normal, it's a lead pipe that they like essentially just give to you for free. It's just right there in your path. On hard, it's a wood board. On survivor, it's fucking nothing.
And also you have like maybe four bullets to your name, and that's like if you haven't shot any. And then you have bricks and bottles. That's all you got.
Yeah, like a lot of people say... Like, I've actually seen people say, like, in arguments about this game, about people, like, not enjoying it. They're like, well, you're just not playing it right. And it's like, no, fuck that. That's stupid. Like, the game, there's a normal difficulty. That's what it is. Like, you just, you know, if you enjoy the game, you don't enjoy the game. And people aren't that stupid. But then, I feel that if you enjoyed normal, you owe it to yourself to play Survivor, because the game and, like, the story and the narrative just match each other almost like flawlessly at that point, because you don't have any like extra not extraterrestrial just like extra I don't know why I was gonna say that. You don't have any like extra abilities like that hearing thing like that, like kind of supernatural in the game universe to like hear through fucking walls because your ears are real strong. Like, you don't have that, and you have to think about every piece of ammo you use. Like, you do everything you can to not use that. Like, even when an encounter happens, you do all you can to either get away from them and lose them, or find a way to beat them up with a pipe.
No, thank you.
It's so gratifying. It's not quite up there with beating Metal Gear Solid 3 on European Extreme. That will probably always be my like crowning achievement in gaming, but like it's like the most satisfying kind of difficulty that I've played in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean it's not like asshole hard. It's not like playing Uncharted 1
manageable.
On crushing.
Yeah.
I mean it's not like it's just nearly impossible. It's just a difficulty that forces you to be responsible and be weary of everything you do, and that's kind of what the game's all about. Like, the story, you know, it's about survival.
Like, the difficulty, upping the difficulty doesn't like make you or make like enemies just take more hits.
Yeah.
And you take less. Like, you do take a lot less in Survivor, but enemies still go down the same.
It makes you feel a lot like closer to like what Joel and Ellie would actually be going through.
It's like, while I feel normal is a pretty good job of like matching the gameplay to the narrative, like when you jump it up to Survivor, you're just like, fuck.
You're like,
especially in Pittsburgh.
Welcome to die.
That, Humvees.
Well, and it's balanced. It's balanced in such a way where, like, let's say you blew all of your ammo and all of your everything. There's always, like, it's gonna be hard, but there's always a way to progress. You're not gonna find yourself just fucked, and I think that's really important.
You can't really do this for the first few hours of the game. You have to, like, get to Pittsburgh for this kind of, like, ability to unlock, where you can just not even deal with them. You, like, the bad guys, you just go by them. If you sneak by them, you can go through that way too, and you just realize how pretty much every encounter post Pittsburgh can be handled like that. I don't know about the hospital, but there's a way to get around damn near everything.
Hey, you know what's awesome? Multiplayer.
Multiplayer. Yeah. Well, I think, like, we should talk about things we didn't like in the game, because it's been about 55 minutes of splooging. Look, I love the multiplayer, though. But there are a few parts where it's just, yeah, okay, this is just for game's sake. When Ellie runs off.
That sucked. And,
yeah, that was, like, probably the lowest part of the game. But, I mean, it's so short, so it didn't, like, take away that much. But, you know, like, you still have to,
thing.
Yeah. You still have to, like, point out. You can't really excuse it, but it's just out of the 14-hour-ish game, it was about 10-15 minutes.
The low point for me was the sniper rifle, the mounted sniper rifle.
Yeah, I got that. I didn't mind it too much. Dylan doesn't like those kinds of scenarios,
Dylan's
though,
problem
so.
With it isn't
that. I didn't mind it, but it was also, like, it didn't feel right. It's like, what is this doing here?
It's kind of like a cop out toward it. Like, it was a very video gamey moment.
Yep.
Yeah.
Whereas the rest of the game, or most of the rest of the game, doesn't cater to that kind of logic. My biggest problem with, like, the narrative is that you fucking hop around the country, and you do it pretty quickly, especially between, like, when Sam and Henry both bite it. And then it just pops you over to Wyoming. And it's just like,
Wasn't it like that the game, they had to cut whole
sections? Yeah. But
I think that's a good thing, though. The game was
pretty long. For that sort of moment, like, it makes sense, so you don't actually get to reflect on, like, you get to reflect on it in that, like, pitch black screen they show for a little bit, and then it just, like, makes you keep going, which I thought was pretty cool. But there are other parts, like, you feel like you're jumping around the country a little too fast. Like, you go from Boston to Billstown, which is just outside of Boston, but then Billstown to Pittsburgh, and then, like, you go from Wyoming to, Colorado.
Colorado!
Oh, and while we're on Colorado, do you think that Joel getting impaled with rhubarb, is that what it's called, rhubarb?
No, it's called rhubarb.
Rebar.
Rebar.
Rhubarb pie. He got impaled by rhubarb pie.
Strawberry rhubar.
Words aren't my favorite.
My favorite.
And he lands on that, and, you know, that's, like, the famous piece of Tomb Raider. Like that was shown a lot. And she kind of just sort of gets over it pretty quickly. And this happens to Joel, and he's fucked for months.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that might have been just a little, like, yeah, fuck you guys. We're actually doing a real survivalistic kind of deal.
Yeah, but I'm going to be honest. Tomb Raider's been my favorite game so far this year.
It's them titties, ain't it?
Yes!
10 out of 10, good titty.
10 out of 10.
10 out of 10.
I've had a lot more fun with that. But this is about the last guy. I mean, The Last
this
of
is
Us.
About the last, this is the last Mimsy right here.
The last of Gabe.
Yeah, I think this is just I love when AAA games just take a step in a different path. Like, they don't just cater to stereotypical.
They didn't take the easy way out of killing off a character to produce feels and emotions.
And what's amazing is that it's like it sold better than fucking everything. Like, it outsold BioShock Infinite on every platform.
I think
combined.
That's because
it's the only thing
because it looks so nice, but I think mostly because it came out in the middle in the dead of summer. Like,
there's
people are
literally
starving
nothing
for something.
Well, yeah, but you look at that time frame, like that the time frame it came out in, what, like during or right after E3, is usually like a graveyard for games. Like, that's when Infamous 2 came out. That's around when Infamous 1 came out. Both of those sold like ass.
Mm-hmm.
Especially Infamous 2. And like, just that area is just kind of... I almost just said area is infamous.
Well,
for
why not?
Terrible,
why not release your AAA title when there's no competition?
Yeah, no, like, I understand. Like,
especially
no
one that's been hyped
just,
like this one has.
Yeah. It's just, well, this has been like a...
I felt...
Like, there's a bad track record.
I felt
this
like
area.
This game, like, was something that people like us knew about, but I never would have thought that it would have been on anybody's radar that other, outside of the industry. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. But then it sold like crazy.
Yeah, and it's
yeah,
been like the number one selling
it.
Game
it
in
sold
Europe
out
for
in
like
every
month.
Store in goddamn Seattle.
It's like 3.4 million in the first month.
Wait, what'd you say?
3.4 million copies
oh,
in the first
said,
month.
I thought you said 24 million.
That's a
like,
failure to Square Enix.
Square Enix.
But it's okay, Lightning's returning.
Do you think it's because Naughty Dog has just built up like a name for themselves?
Yes.
I've seen a lot of advertisements for it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. I've seen television
maybe
ads.
We just didn't
I think it's that plus Naughty Dog's like the de facto Sony studio now.
Mm-hmm. They are the Sony game studio.
And everyone, if you have a PlayStation, you know Naughty Dog by this point.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, if you play a lot of games, like, not even a lot of games, just if you have a PlayStation and you play games, you probably know about Uncharted, and then you probably know about Naughty Dog, so, like, that definitely helps.
Also, just real quick, and this is completely off topic, but it's kind of on the idea of getting your word out properly. The other day, I had a friend of mine that was talking about, now this is someone, she's not, like, super into the games stuff, and she
what's
was
wrong with her.
Yeah, I know, right? But she was like talking about the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox, like with them coming up. She's like, the PlayStation 4 is gonna kick its ass. She's like, you can't even trade and share games on the Xbox, and blah blah. And I was like, oh man, like they done fucked up. Like the whole story, the whole news cycle was how you couldn't do that. And then when they retracted it, it was like, here's one little article. She had no idea that they had retracted that. I was like, yeah, that's not the case anymore. Like, and I was like, man, I bet this is like 90% of people don't even realize that has been completely reversed. Anyway.
Hey, but that's not about The Last of Us, Ryan.
I know,
so shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up.
Be silent, you fanboy.
Anyway,
there is another part about the game I wanted to bring up. Fuck.
Yeah, I feel
I
like
lost it.
Well, I had a lot of stuff. I feel like there's things that I had when we were going to do this last week that I've forgotten.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I should have wrote those down.
Dan out of ten.
Yeah, that was definitely the first bullet point I had. Dan out of ten.
I don't know.
Yeah, man. I just get so happy. I get so happy when games like this come out. Like, when someone just takes a step in a new direction. And, something I wanted to bring up is, if you watch, like, the Rev 3 Spoiled Games or the video review that Adam Sessler did, he talks about how the, like, cinematics in this game, while it's not, like, very creative to use just straight up cinematics. What am I saying? Cutscene. It's just like use cutscenes in games. Like, it's kind of just standard, but they use like all these different nuances and like graphic matches to just tie everything together and be really cohesive and just like reward you for paying more attention. He said like that couldn't really happen in like a 2-hour movie, but I don't think that's true. Like, you can have nuances like that in a 2-hour movie. It's just you don't see them in games, and when they are in games, they're really fucking effective. because they just help slowly build up characters over such like a long period of time, and you get to know them more, and you get to like be more engaged with them. So that was, I felt like that was one of the better story elements or like narrative devices that Naughty Dog used, or Neil Druckmann used, maybe. Just wanted to say that.
Yeah,
Spielberg.
Because I don't really like cutscenes in games anymore. Like, they're fine.
Cutscenes just... called. They don't like you either.
Kojima yeah. could learn something from this.
Yeah, motherfucker like, needs an editor.
Like, you're going to take this time, and you're like, taking us away from the game itself, and, you know, that's... I don't know, it's not that great. But to do that and then reward you for paying attention in like while you're playing the game and also while you're watching the cutscenes, like, damn, like, well done. Like, when Ellie gave Sam the toy, did you guys notice that she kind of lingers in the toy store for a while and just kind of stands still?
Well, yeah, and she waits for you to stop looking at her
around,
to pick it up.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, by the way, when you look in her backpack and stuff when you're playing as her, you can look at the toy and she's like, God, I was so stupid.
Oh, yeah, because she has it in, what is it, Wyoming, when they find that little child's grave.
Oh, yeah, because she puts it there,
Sam
right?
And Henry. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Ah, man. Well done, Neil Druckmann. Well, fucking done.
Okay, so
and
Gabe,
goddamn the music. Yeah, what's up?
I have a big question for you.
Is this my favorite game of all time now?
You son of a bitch.
Gabe, is this your new favorite game of all time?
I've actually decided to...
Is this your new official favorite game of all time?
Official. Gabe Philbin exclusive. I'm,
Or is it still BioShock Infinite?
I've thought a lot. You know, I like to think. All right, I think that I like to think. And I don't really want to have a favorite game. You know, I just want
new official game.
I just
Gabe
want,
don't got official game.
I want to like games and like I don't want to, I can't because you know the games will do different things well and. They'll fuck up different things horribly. And it's like, I don't want to have this one be-all, end-all, like, best game ever, favorite game ever, so.
Until Blowjob Simulator comes out, then Gabe has
yeah,
found...
Yeah, until I get my hands on an Oculus Rift in every sex simulator in that game. Because you know that shit gonna be popping.
In your eye.
Not right. With an Oculus right. Rift on. Safety goggles. Oh, God. Shoot this fucking thing in the head.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. Why did I say that?
Oh, does it come in waterproof? Jesus.
Okay, let's stop at the
10
innuendo.
10 out of 10.
10 out of 10. No more innuendo. Fuck, dude.
So have we set our piece?
You ever, like that TV show Gabe Digs a Hole? Because I just did that.
No.
And then he fucked it with his Oculus Rift.
Virtual fuck, baby.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus was definitely not in the room.
Jesus didn't do this. We did.
And you guys call me a monster for slaughtering that hospital.
I think we've said our piece.
I think so.
I guess so.
Final words. So.
Final word. 10 out of 10.
I'd
yeah,
play
I
it
like
again.
That. Would play again.
Would play again.
But I probably won't.
My final word is Joel is a real hero and a real human being.
He is the best human everywhere. let's see. I'd sum it up with get some balls, be ambiguous.
I'd dip my balls in it.
Oh, no. Here we go. I remember the fucking thing I was going to say.
Okay.
All right. Ending. Javi, when you beat the game, were you like, that kind, you know, that kind of reminds me of the Prince of Persia reboot ending. The, like, hospital scene.
No, because the Prince of Persia reboot ending, like, I really, like, I was like, yeah. Like, I was rooting for him. This one, I was not at all.
Like, I thought it was a moment of, like, the player doesn't want to do it, but Joel is going to.
Well, see, the Avatar. I saw a lot of people make that argument. Like, they're like, what the fuck? He undoes everything? Ugh. Like, all pissed off about the end of the Prince of Persia reboot. And I was like, what's wrong with you? Like, yeah, he loves Elika. He's not going to... I guess you can compare them that way, that, like...
Joel loves Zoe.
He's saying, fuck the world. Yeah.
Hey, and Nathan, not Nathan, Nolan North is in both games, so, yep. You know, another connection.
Yep. But I don't know, I thought the Prince of Persia one was really sweet, while I found the Last of Us one to be, like, kind of revolting, or, like, you know, like, what a piece of shit. I mean, yeah. I mean, like, I understand saving Ellie, like, I wanted to save Ellie, but more than anything,
at
I kind of
wanted...
I wanted to see her give explicit consent for what they were going to do to her.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like an impossible request, isn't it?
Well, I think it could have been something where maybe they could have eliminated the conversation you have with what's her name? Or like, I guess you found the audio logs. That's all it was. Marlene? It wasn't a conversation. Yeah, the Firefly lady.
Daisy Fitzroy.
Yeah, she does look a lot. That's exactly what I thought the first time I saw her.
They got like the same hair and everything.
Yeah. But
everyone gets
like,
mad at me when we play multiplayer and I get that character model. I always just start out going, I'm Daisy Fitzroy.
But when she's talking about how, you know, she's given the order to whatever, you know, proceed with the procedure or whatever. But I think it could have been equally as good if they had, yeah, had Ellie give her full consent to have it done, but you don't know that. Like, you never hear that.
Mm-hmm.
And you just...
I mean, that could have happened.
Yeah, but if you knew that, I think it would have changed the impact at the end. Yeah, I think it might have even made it worse. Like,
yeah.
Oh, definitely.
Because you do all that, and she already knew what... She knew what she was putting herself through, and then you take that away from her, all for yourself, you know? So that would have been... Yep. I think that would have been interesting, but they didn't do that.
Did you find the audio log from Daisy Fitzroy where she was, like, kind of... talking to the mom, or like, or
yeah,
talking
yeah.
to Ellie's mom, and she it was like, damn, like, Marlene fucking loved her mom, like, there was something there,
okay, like, Gabe,
like, shit, dude,
yeah, like, man, put the Oculus Rift away,
yeah, Gabe's lesbian Oculus Rift fantasies are
all right, no, I'm just saying.
Shading his impressions.
You know, like, just having a little, 10 out of 10. Little nuances like that make this game a 10 out of 10. Well, it's like they did the same thing with Bill. Well, not exactly the same thing, but
yeah, Bill.
You could kind of figure it out until until like that magazine.
Yeah,
happened.
Yeah. Yeah, it was kind of implied until you saw that, and it was like, oh, okay, I gotcha. I gotcha.
Myth busted.
Yeah.
All right. Well, okay, now we're wrapping up.
Yeah.
All right, yeah. So I guess that's all we wanted to say about The Last of Us.
And next week we be returning with a truly numbered...
A regularly scheduled
program.
Yeah,
we gotta do a week-by-week regular number now.
We can talk about Ryan Gosling being a real hero and a real... Oh, wait.
That's Joel now, baby.
That's Joel.
All right. Follow us on Twitter, you know all the stuff. Facebook, YouTube, do all those beautiful things. You love, excuse me, lovely people.
Neat.
All right, yeah. What did you think about Last of Us? Let us know on the Tweeties.
And don't fucking spoil it in the goddamn comments.
Yeah, I wanted to, like, ask on Twitter and Facebook. I was like, "What was your favorite part of Last of Us?" And I was like, I can't really do that.
Yeah, because if people start posting things on the yeah. You know, fine.
My favorite part's when Joel takes away everything you did in the game.
We already kind of had a spoiler on Facebook.
With the whole, is Joel a bad guy?
Oh, yeah.
Well, no, like, that's throughout the whole game.
Hey, did we ask for questions? Are we going to do that? Or are we waiting for next
week? They'll be for a regular episode.
Yeah.
Okay.
So. I asked for whatever. We going.
So we out!
Alright, bye guys.
Bye!
Bye.
A real human being.